Recyclical, making lithium ion last forever. Recyclical's patented recycling process achieves up to 100% recovery of battery metals from lithium ion batteries for electric vehicles, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, and aluminum. Recyclical Battery Materials Incorporated trades on the TSX Venture AMY, on the OTCQB AMYZF, and Frankfurt ID4. For more information, visit recyclico.com or phone us at 778-574-4444. Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever.
You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at talkdigitalnetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Sean Broderick, senior editor at WeissRatings.com. Welcome back to the show, Sean.
Thanks for having me on.
Sean, the stock markets, what's your short-range prediction there?
I think it'll probably be range-bound through the November election, and if that's not resolved quickly, then it could be into January. And so now it could be a higher range than we have now. But we've seen two rounds of selling this year. This last one was the most negative. That's the one people remember. But we also had one back in April as well. And so more than likely, money managers are a little shy of what's going on. And so we'll see what happens when the market gets back to the July highs, you know? I mean, I do expect some resistance there. That said, I mean, economically speaking, things look quite bullish. Things are picking up all over the place. Those people who have been calling for recession seem to be proven wrong. And things aren't picking up so fast that the Fed will have to put off its rate cuts. Things have slowed down in employment enough that a September rate cut by the Fed certainly seems very likely. The Fed hates to disappoint the market. So I expect we'll see a rate cut starting in September. The forecast is for 3 this year. We'll see how that goes. But rate cuts should help those sectors of the broad economy that are struggling, those interest rate sensitive ones like housing and car sales and stuff like that. So that'll be a boost for those lagging sectors. Overall, I feel pretty bullish about everything, but the thing I'm most bullish about is gold and gold miners, because no matter who wins in November, next year we're going to see more deficit spending, a lot more. And the way things are going, it's going to start to get worrisome. Not that we'll have a default or anything, but people start to worry about it. And so I expect that'll boost gold along with the November election itself, along with a lot of geopolitics around the world, whether we're talking about Taiwan or Europe or Africa or the Middle East, you name it. So gold, I think, looks very attractive here, and I believe it's going to $3,000 in the first half of next year.
Wow. And how do we get people interested in those junior miners that will be supplying some of this gold? Because some of the, you know, the big names, are they moving?
They're moving. I recommend big names, and I recommend mid caps. Like I've recommended a few smaller companies, but all the ones I recommend are producers, or else I am looking at some that are very near to production, but they have to be leveraged to the price of gold. Now, in any kind of upcoming period, we might see the explorers and the developers who don't really have anything together yet, we might see those outperform, but we are seeing such value in maybe not the larger names, though we have some nice larger names, but especially in the underfollowed mid caps and the underfollowed larger small caps, that I think that's where things look most attractive to me.
I saw a headline that said the economy is doing well, but you are not. Is that a kind of a misnomer.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of fear selling and outright misinformation about the market. I saw another survey asking people how they were personally doing, economically speaking, and their perception of their state and the larger national economy. Most people, like a high percentage in the 70s, thought they were doing great, but they felt less sure about their state, and most people were convinced that America is either in a recession or about to enter a recession. That's basically misinformation. That's people telling you things for their own political ends. The economy is chugging along. There are signs of weakness, especially in employment, absolutely, but we're nowhere near a recession right now. And if that's how you're investing, you're going to miss out. Now, I've been taking a lot of gains this year in things like NVIDIA. We don't own that anymore. Amazon, we don't own that right now. A bunch of tech names because, you know, the tech market ran away and we had some great gains. So things look toppy. So I took those gains. But you know what? If they pull back to my buy points, I'll be buying again. I think we're in a new tech bull market, one that's led by AI. AI is looking a little tarnished right now because investors aren't seeing the returns on the investment that big companies are putting into it right now. They think they're spending money on AI without getting much out. But it takes a while to make those systems work. I think there's some great AI improvements to existing systems coming, oh, later this year, next year, stuff like that. Things will just really start to steamroll. And so look for a new tech bull market, but at the same time, you should not be ignoring other areas like, say, fintech, financials, certainly select miners. I'm kind of cool on the oil stocks right now, but we own enough of them, you know, and the ones we own pay you to wait. That's a nice thing. There are some oil stocks that pay nice big fat dividends. I highly recommend those. You can just buy those on a pullback, but I think that the oil market might have topped for this year, so that takes some of the excitement out of it. And, you know, uranium got beaten down. That was, strangely enough, a function of, or it seems to be, a function of the unwinding of the Japanese carry trade that we saw for a brief instant until Japan blinked and said, no, we aren't going to unwind the carry trade. And what happens there, basically, is that people borrow money in yen to buy speculative assets around the world, mostly in Asia, but not only in Asia, other developing markets, and here in the U.S. as well. They buy nice, they take out loans in nice, safe yen, and they buy much more speculative stuff. Some of the most speculative stuff in the world, at least according to the market, is uranium stocks. And they got hammered when that sell-off came, combined with other forces, news out of Kazakhstan, stuff like that. And but I see some real value in that group, and it would not surprise me to see a second half of the year rally in uranium stocks. I think that's one thing people should be looking at as well. I hope that's not too many ideas, but man, I have plenty of money. Love what I'm looking at in this market.
We'll have more with Sean Broderick right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Sean Broderick. Sean, what's going on with copper?
Well, okay, so China's definitely cooling down, and we've seen home prices come down, and there have been some warnings on, like, steel demand over in that country and stuff like that. And all that weighed on copper and really, really pushed it down. Despite the fact that we've had interruptions at major mines and stuff like that, the speculation side was really bearish on copper. But now we're seeing in the most recent monthly measure, Chinese home prices did not go down. China's trying to do a lot to support its real estate market. And the word is, as much as we can ever trust any of this, the word is China's going to do a lot more to support its housing market and its construction industry generally. That should be good for copper. So copper looks cheap here. if we don't think a global recession is coming, it's cheap. So depending on how you look at things, I think it looks cheap now. Certainly, if you had been bullish in copper for the last few months, you know, you really got hurt. Because it peaked in May and just went on this slip and slide of doom. But it's really down at support right now. I mean, it just bounced off of $4, heading higher. I think this is a great entry point for copper.
Iron ore prices, what's going on there?
Horrible. Again, it's news out of China because China's the major market for all this stuff. And, you know, I mean, there's always the suspicion when we talk about industrial metals that China is manipulating the market. Maybe that's what's going on here. Maybe China is like selling doom and gloom because they want to buy iron cheap. That could be. Or there are some major problems in the Chinese construction market that still need to be worked out. That's the more likely explanation. It's not some grand conspiracy. It's just that they're still working through their issues. That said, the Chinese government seems to be addressing it. And so, you know, prices are low now. They'll probably be higher by the end of the year, but I'm not an iron expert.
Anything going on with marijuana?
Funny you should mention that. I bought a marijuana stock, a Canadian marijuana stock, for my personal portfolio recently because it finally started turning a profit. We're actually seeing some good news north of the border, or north of our border, I should say, up in your neck of the woods with some cannabis stocks in Canada are really starting to get their act together. And they are also starting to set themselves up for U.S. legalization, you know, doing partnerships and stuff like that. And so I think there's good values here and there. You have to be incredibly choosy. I think there are some good opportunities, though. And we could see action on cannabis in the United States, which is the big market everyone worries about. I know there's so many cannabis markets around the world, you can't treat them with all the same brush. But the U.S. is trying to reschedule cannabis from a Schedule 1 to a Schedule 3, from being classified as dangerous as heroin and LSD to, say, something like a anabolic steroid that you get a prescription from your doctor for. So if that happens, and it could happen later this month, that will probably see a rally in the cannabis stocks. Now, it'll take time to implement those changes. It might not be this month because that would be 30 days after the process started. It could be up to 90 days. And then once that rescheduling happens, legal challenges can be filed for up to 30 days. So it won't be immediate. But the trend really seems to be moving in legalized cannabis' favor here in the United States. So I think people, if they're speculators and if they don't mind betting a little money that they can afford to lose, they should be taking a position in something.
You mentioned oil. Is oil going to stay in this thing? It doesn't seem to matter what happens in the Middle East now. Are people satisfied with this price?
Oil seems range-bound to me. Now, we know what the floor is that anytime it gets down to 77, 78 bucks, then the U.S. government starts to buy oil for the Strategic Petroleum Reserve. Now, I am talking about the price of West Texas Intermediate. Brent is the more common international benchmark. And as with cannabis, there are oil markets all around the world. It all depends which one you are talking about. But to me, it looks like oil is range-bound. OPEC and OPEC Plus, OPEC being the usual cabal of cretins, and then OPEC Plus throwing in Russia and their Legion of Doom producers, they have kept a lid on supply that's actually quite admirable considering what a herd of cats they used to be. They really seem to be controlling things very well. They always have the bomb hanging over them that could be dropped by Saudi Arabia, which is if people start to produce too much, Saudi Arabia will just outproduce them. No one wants to trigger that. So that's good. But at the same time, we keep seeing higher and higher production from the United States. I mean, the U.S. in the last 3 years has gone from a net oil importer to a net oil exporter. We seem to be producing more and more all the time, though people are saying that it's going to top out. And certainly, if prices don't go higher, I can see a lack of interest in, you know, drilling more and faster. I don't think the election is going to change oil all that much. I don't think that we'll see new supply come on from one side of the political aisle in Washington, D.C., or the other. I don't think that will affect that. But what we really have to worry about is the global economy. Even OPEC is now calling for lower oil consumption next year, and the International Energy Agency as well. Not lower, but they've lowered their expectations for how much things will rise. And so, you know, you have to approach it with caution. That said, if, say, due to a share issuance or some other thing, you see a good oil company that pays a nice dividend and grows that dividend, and it pulls back for some reason, and you know it's going to go higher again, well, that would be a good time to pick it up if you like being paid by the stocks you own. I do. I like being paid dividends. And that's one thing that I look for. Not everybody cares. They'd rather get more money out of growth stocks. I like growth stocks, too. It all depends on, like, what you're looking for. But, for example, you aren't going to find an AI stock that pays a dividend besides maybe IBM. So, so you just have to know what suits you. But if we start to get more talk of growth again, then we'll see people rotate out of value stocks, and those tend to pay dividends. Or you see more dividend payers in the value stock arena. And if that happens, then maybe you can pick some up on the cheap, because I like being paid by the stocks that I own.
Intel stopped paying dividends, laid off 15% of their staff. Did they miss the AI boat?
Intel deserves to be fed through a wood chipper. I hate Intel. Man, I am... I actually had those in one of my portfolios earlier this year, I have to say, because I believed their promises. And then they just started missing on, just not delivering on promise after promise. That's when I knew to get out. Thank God I got out long ago, because what a horrific manure show that stock has turned into. No, definitely avoid Intel. Don't believe what they're saying. It's either they don't know what they're doing, or they're lying about what they're doing. Whichever option you want to choose, they need new management, basically what they need. That's my view.
Sean, anything else we should be keeping a close eye on?
The election. It might go smoothly, or we could be, I'm not saying we're headed for civil war, but we could be headed for another fracas. We had a coup in this country, a coup attempt, during the last election. And we could see that this time around. That's one reason to own gold, because if we have another coup attempt, that's going to make people really, really nervous. And so whatever your political inclinations, and if you're in Canada, God bless you. I know things are different up there. Good for you. But whatever your inclinations, we are going to have a real fracas for an election. And it could set up turmoil that continues through January. Now, I say all that, and yet I'm bullish on the market. Yes. Funny enough, because I think there are tremendous opportunities out there. You just have to look for them and just try and find things that should zigzag their way higher, no matter what goes on in Washington.
Sean, thank you so much for chatting with us.
Thanks for having me on.
My guest has been Sean Broderick, senior editor at WeissRatings.com. If you have any questions for Sean or for any of our guests, you can send them to info@HowStreet.com. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on X at How Street. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com, HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.